Accession number 9875, reel 4.
Mr. Ashurst, reel 4. We were talking about when you went into the trenches.
Yes.
In front of Armentières, La Touquet.
Yes.
Your reserve base at Le Bizet. And you were in the front line 4 days and then Le Bizet for 4 days.
Exactly.
What I wanted to discuss first was what it was like in the front line during the 4 days.
Well, it was just living in this hole in the earth, you might say. A long trench of about, 10 yards or so was our particular trench. Mine and four other men. And the next trench was flooded, really. The next piece, like mine, was flooded. So nobody used that until you got past that one to the next one, you see, where somebody lived. And life was fairly quiet. There wasn't a lot of fighting at all.
You said you tried to dig little dugouts in the side, you know, just so you could
get
your head and shoulders.
Yes.
Did you try and cover them off? Did you have any?
We had a ground sheet. We used to dig it out like that there, so that we could get in here. Our legs out, of course. And here was the trench, you know, dug out. We used to fasten the ground sheet along here, so that it would hang down over us. You see, when it rained, of course, it rained on the ground sheet and off into the bottom of the trench. Pistols, like inside, the biggest part of us.
And you'd always use the same hole when you were in the front line, would you? Or would you dig a new one every so often when the other one fell in a bit?
Oh, they very soon got slippy or something like that, being wet.
It was clay, was it?
Yes, it was all clay. Mm. You walked about on clay and you dug clay. It was clay as you dug it out of the side. It was clay as you tried to make a step to get out of the trench when relief came.
Right, what about your rations? How did you get your rations in the front?
Oh, the rations used to come up in the night time, 1 o'clock in the morning or something like that, by a ration carrier, a chap bringing them. Yeah. Of course, in those days we took quite a good bit of bread with us from the village for a start, a loaf or two in the pack, you know, French loaf or two, and anything else we could take by that.
So it would just be one man would go back for, would it come, would it be from another
Yes, it wasn't one out of my trench or anything, it was a Russian man that came round.
You know, was it just one man or a ration party?
Oh, well, there'd be a ration party working. But of course, only one man would come to us. You see what I mean? He would have our trenches to see to. Probably one man.
And what in December 14, what sort of food were you getting in the front line? Can you remember what you got?
Oh, it was mostly biscuits and bully beef and jam, you know. Hardly anything else. Fancy stuff whatever.
What was the bully beef like?
Lovely. Beautiful. What do you call it? Sold to this day.
Corned beef?
Yes, but the name of it, I mean. It was South American, you know.
Fray Bentos?
Fray Bentos, that was the beef. And that was the beef, the stuff we loved. I've loved it ever since, even now.
So you didn't get
it's
tired?
It's the best.
You didn't get tired of it then?
No, well, you couldn't get tired of it because you had nothing else much, you see. You get some bacon sometimes in the night, you know. You get a bit of bacon and you could fry that. We used to have to fry that by digging another hole in the side. And about that big.
About a foot square.
Putting in our canteen, what we had our soup in and our tea, we used to use the lid. Put the bacon in that. And hang it on a piece of wood which stuck in. and feed it with little bits of timbers to light up the fire underneath it. Keep feeding it with matchsticks sort of thing till we got it fried, or till we got a canteen full of hot water. That's how we did it.
Why did you use such small bits of wood? I know, I just
wanted
to say.
Couldn't possibly use big pieces. You don't make no smoke worth calling smoke, or else it was a target for the German artillery. Smoke always is.
Would you make anything out of the bully beef that you got up? Would you make stews and things, or try and, or would you just eat it raw, so to speak?
Yes, we just eat it raw. We never did anything with it, really. Eat it raw. It was good.
In December 14, did you get any other tinned food? Had that any of the other types started to come in?
Jam, and we got jams. Nothing much like, nothing special like tin tong or boiled iron, nothing like that, you know. We got just the jams mostly, different kinds of jam.
Now, what would you spread them onto? Onto your biscuits, or would you get bread issues?
Well, it depends how much bread we had, whether we had biscuits or bread. If we had bread, we'd eat the bread. If it was biscuits, we'd spread them on the biscuits, although you could hardly eat them, you know.
What were the biscuits like?
Oh, they were dog biscuits, as hard as iron. About that big,
three and a half inches square.
Yes. And they were hard. They were like iron, anyway. Really, you had to have decent teeth to break them, if you could break them with your teeth.
Did you get tea and sugar and things brought up?
Yes, we had some tea and sugar. We usually took some in our packs, you know, for that.
So you didn't get it issued separately?
Yes, we did, because we get a bit issued, but it was nothing much. And of course, the tea was already, when we were back in the billets, the tea was already made for us. We went to the cookhouse for it, you see. We had a cookhouse there.
But you'd never get any hot food in the line, other than what you heated up using this method.
Only what we heated up ourselves in that way, by little pieces of wood.
Did you get enough to eat?
Well, we kept living. I wouldn't say we got enough many a time. We weren't really hungry, no. I should say, I never remember being hungry for the want of food, no. We'd always biscuits to go at, you see. And we used to soften them and break them up. And
with all this bully beef and hard biscuits, did you get enough of a water ration issued in December 14?
Oh, yes, we'd always plenty of water.
How was that brought up?
It was brought up in big containers, you know. It wanted a hell of a lot of carrying.
Who'd bring them up?
Ration man, just the same. Everything, of course, was brought up in the middle of the night, in the darkness.
Was the water heavily polluted or
no,
chlorinated?
No, it seemed quite all right. There's no extra taste about it that I remember much, you know. Although we're quite used to lots of water, sorts of water in France. Because we used to get it out of wells, you know. As well as off water carts, our own water carts.
Would you ever drink out of shell holes or anything like that?
Oh, no, never did, no. Never needed to, no.
So you got enough water to avoid...
Oh, yes. Bear in mind, you always went into the trench with a water bottle full, for a start. Your own water bottle was always full.
Did you carry...
And if we made a brew, of course, there was always his water bottle after that. Then there was always his water bottle after that.
Did you have emergency rations issued at that time?
No. We might have had we got a drop of rum at Christmas anyway.
Well, that's the point. Did you get a rum ration during the rest of December that year? Would you get it issued in the trenches?
No, we didn't get it regularly. It all depended. Sometimes it was coming up to us and it got smashed. We didn't get none. So they said, you know, because it was brought up in brig jugs, brown jugs. I don't know if it was half a gallon or a gallon. But they were big brown jugs. You used to carry them in a sandbag, you see. Well, if a bullet hit it, of course it was gone. When the fellow was bringing it up over the top. If it got hit, that was a unforgivable sin altogether for a Russian man to get the rum hit. It was unforgivable. Nobody forgave him. Total bloody hit him in the head, you know, something like that.
When it did get up, how was it issued?
Oh, it was issued in your canteen, you know, a little drop in your canteen. Hold your canteen out and you get so much in it. That's all.
Would anybody try and save the rum to try and get drunk later? You know, save up.
No, perhaps they didn't take it. I'm not sure whether I took it, first of all, you know. I'm not sure whether I took rum, first of all. I didn't care for it. I didn't like it. And there's such a thing as swapping it for a packet of cigarettes or something like that, you know.
So some people would.
Yes, as did love it.
Would they get drunk? Would they try and swap?
No, never got enough to get drunk, really. No, you never got enough to get drunk.
Were there any... You mentioned cigarettes. Did you get a cigarette ration at that time in the line? Always talking December 14.
Well, most of the cigarettes we got from home. In parcels, waiting for us in the billets when we got back.
You didn't get parcels brought up to the line then?
No, I don't remember. Only now and again we got an issue of cigarettes.
What did you smoke then, didn't you?
Hmm.
What were they like, the official issue cigarettes?
They were all right. There was the usual sort, Woodbine, you know, Capstan.
Did you have any other special rations brought up?
No. No special stuff. Doctor's stuff or anything like that, no. Oh, no. With nothing like that.
Looking at some of the problems of trench life, how long was it before you had problems with lice on arriving in the trenches?
Not so very long. From starting to wear your sheepskin coats, you weren't very long before they were creeping out of your neck up here, and you know, and they were in your shirt, what's the name, you know,
seams.
Yeah, seams.
How
you used to take them off and run a match up them, you know, run a match or a candlelight better, lasted longer, run that up the seam and burn every egg there was. You could hear them crack, crack, crack. When you burned them.
Did you have to be careful not to burn the shirt?
Oh, yes, of course. Oh, yes. You didn't burn the shirt. You just run the flame up. It was sufficient to burn the eggs, you know.
What, quickly run it up, you mean? You'd run it up quickly?
Not too quickly, no. Just nicely, so that it wouldn't burn your shirt. But still, it would burn all the live stuff in the seam.
How were they a nuisance? Can you explain what they felt like?
Well, they didn't hurt. They were simply itchy, that's all. You know, you could scratch. Especially a year between the shoulders they used to get. Surprising, but a bundle of them would get there. Certain places, you know. Right in between your shoulders. They seemed to accumulate. I don't know why, but unless it was the warmest spot they could find. But you'd be sat talking to a chap like this, you know, and you'd see one come up his shirt neck and walk up his neck, you know. Oh, yes, many a time you could see that happening.
Would you try and catch him with your fingers, or was that not possible?
Oh, you never bothered so much. There's only one thing to do. Burn them. That was the only way, whichever way you did it, get your shirt off and get the flame going along the seams. Oh, we used to, in the summertime, we used to put our bayonet on our rifle and stick it in the ground with the bayonet and then anger shirt on, and the sun shining on the shirt used to bring them all to the top out of the shirt. They all used to go to the top, and they were squirming on the top in a big lump of lice, you know, squirming on the top in the sunshine. And then we used to put a flame to it, a lot, and burn. That's another trick we did.
Did you have much? You were in front of Lituke.
Yes.
A couple of miles, 3 or 4 miles in front of Armentières. Did you have much of a problem with rats in that area of the front?
No. No, we didn't have much of a problem, no.
Any other rodents?
You could hear them knocking about in the night, and sometimes you'd spot them, because they'd be after our jam tins, you know, that we threw over the top. When we'd emptied them of jam, we used to throw them over the top, in front of us, between us and Jerry. You see, because they always counted in case Jerry was coming. He rattled at cans, you see. So they counted that way. It's quite full of cans at front, as well as this standard barbed wire. Yes.
And you'd hear the rats, but not many in that area of the
front. No, we hadn't a lot, no. Not there. Nothing compared to what we had at Bowman Tunnel.
You say you threw your waste cans out front.
Yes.
But just to confirm, you wouldn't throw it behind because you'd be afraid when you were moving up that you'd kick them.
Exactly. And that was the right thing to do, throw it in front. And it counted as, like I say, it told you if anybody was moving about.
What would you do with any other waste that you had?
Oh, skim it away. Skim it away behind us somewhere at one side towards that trench on that side.
What, the flooded one?
Hmm.
Did you have enough
water? We do want to do our business, of course. We got out of the trench and went further behind and did it, you know.
What, you latrine? Did you not have latrines then?
No, not in the trench.
Not at that time, anyway?
No, we didn't have latrines.
So there were no latrine arrangements at all?
Not there, no.
So what would they do in the middle of the day?
You'd have to manage and get it done in the trench, that's all.
What, and cover it up yourself?
Yes, shovel it out and cover it up or something of the sort, anything, so you got rid.
And during the night you'd go?
Nip over the back of the trench, you see, run a few yards, get down and do it.
How did you manage for paper and things like that?
Paper? God knows. Didn't do any sort of paper. We've used grass and leaves and all sorts of damn things you'd use if you had no paper. So if you didn't get it on your shirt, you'd do get it off somewhere. You know. You weren't really bothered.
So in this,
and you never wash your hands, you know.
So for this first period you didn't have any latrine arrangements at all?
No latrine.
What about washing? You just mentioned you didn't wash your hands at all. There wouldn't be enough water spare, or you wouldn't use any...
Oh, you never washed in the 4 days in the trenches. You never washed or shaved. There was no need.
And you weren't expected to shave either?
Oh, no. You could have done if you'd wished, you know. You had the things in your kit there. And you could have done if you'd wished, but if the deuce wanted to shave in the trench, nobody. You didn't care what you looked like, cut or shave, you didn't care a damn, or washed. Your face was full of clay sometimes with knocking about the trenches and lying in these holes, you know. Just clay all over you.
What about to go through a typical day's routine, you know, one day in the trench at this time, because I know things changed later in the war and got... If you could start, did you have stand to first thing in the morning?
Oh yes, you've always that.
Explain what it was.
Well, it's simply stand to. Everybody, every man waited. That's all. You didn't really stand to. We didn't bother to stand to. But every man was supposed to be waiting. But we didn't, you know. No, we didn't always do it.
Would they be meant to stand in the trench or on the
step? On the firing step, you see, and be ready.
But they wouldn't look over the top?
No, only now and again you'd have a peep over. But we hardly ever did it. But we were waiting, you know, in case an officer came round. But many a time we weren't waiting. We were, two or three of us was asleep and one fellow was on the watch for an officer coming. Need to wake us up quickly, you know. We didn't care much about things like that. Stand to is an understood thing in the army, always was.
And how long would you, how long would you do that for?
Oh, only a few minutes. And it was a matter of waking you up, and that was sufficient, you see.
And then what?
Stand to, and that was sufficient. If you went to the trenches, wakened up, that's okay.
What would you do then?
Oh, settle down again when it was over. By the sentry, of course. You'd always the sentry on duty, you know.
Now, would you take a go at a sentry, because you were the lance corporal?
No.
So the other four men would?
Yes, I wouldn't.
What was the rota system you had?
Well, it was two on and four off, or two off and six, two on and six off, whichever way you put
2 hours on.
Yes. But at odd times we'd say, go on, Joe, have a bit of a do. All right, well, he'd have a do for about an hour, you know.
And what was the sentry's job at this time? How often would you expect him to look over the top?
Oh, every few minutes, really, you know. Every few minutes he would look over the top. You could practically say he was ready to look over the top any second. The least noise he heard in front, he'd be on the quivive, you see. Whatever.
After this experience you had when the chap was shot, you know, when the officer came round, would people take care not to look over the top in the same place too often? Or
oh, yes, you changed that.
You had 10 yards.
You changed that, yes. Because you knew we probably had a rifle fixed on that point.
So,
like we thought many a time, he had a rifle fixed there. All you need to do was pull the trigger. He didn't need to look. Just pull the trigger, it was fixed on that spot. So we used to move it, you see, to the other end.
The sentry would be moving up and down the 10 yards?
Yes, anywhere. So it was away from that one particular spot. Because we knew the gun was set, you see. So if we got away from that spot, it was all right.
And what would you... Now, you were the lance corporal. You'd have the men on there 2 hours, 4 hours off, or 2 hours, 6 hours, whatever you'd got it set up at. What would you be doing during the day?
Oh, dossing. During the day, we depended on the weather, you see.
Well, this was winter.
Yes,
December.
Well, if it was pouring down with rain, like that, we'd probably be bailing out with an empty jam tin or chipping the sides to dry a bit, you know, chipping them off and chucking them out.
Ah, getting rid of the wet, Claire.
Yes, getting rid of the wet, you see.
Would you do any improvements to the trenches during the day?
No,
you know?
We never did much work on them at all. No. As long as we had a firing line, we bothered about nothing else.
So as a...
No work.
As a lance corporal, not having to be on sentry, during the day anyway, you had an easier time than they did.
Well, I don't know. I worked... It all depended, you see. Of course, I had an easy time if the weather was nice and something like that. I would sit there waiting events, what happened, you know.
So you were more on call for if there was any...
Oh, yes.
If the sentry thought he heard or saw something, he would report it to you?
Oh, straight away.
That was to you, was it?
Yeah. Yes. Anything unusual, he'd say, Coppel, come here, you know. I've heard so-and-so. Well, of course, you wouldn't in the daytime. Mostly at night when you heard something. Because in the daytime, you could see. Without hearing, you could see by looking over now and again.
So would he call you over if he saw anything as well?
Oh, yes.
And what would you do?
Well, get the others. Come on, lads, stand to. Jerry's on the move. He's up to something. So we'd all just get ready on the firing line. Waiting for him to come near. That's all.
And at night you'd come up and listen and look.
Oh, we used to have to go out. You used to have to go
out. I'll come to that then, yeah. What else would you do in the day? Would you talk to each other?
Oh, of course. You know, the five of us together in that little trench, we'd be chatting all day.
What sort of I know you can't remember exactly what you were talking about 70 years ago, but what sort of things did you talk about?
Oh, talking about how we thought the war was going and what they were be doing at home and, you know, things like that. Wishing you were at home and talking about your relations, telling them stories about your relations and anything to pass the time on.
Did it get boring during the day?
Well, it was boring really every day, because they looked like long days, you know, and you were fed up when time come. You were fed up and ready for getting out of that trench, you know, when your 4 days were up. You'd chip the steps in your side ready for these men arriving, you know, and they'd give you hand out as you climbed up. Then they'd have to slide in on the bottom. You had to slide in the trench, the only way you could get in them.
Did you have any other recreations? Would you play any sort of games in the front line?
No, we never played any games.
No cards or anything?
No, not in the front line. It was too uncomfortable.
You were a bit of a marksman. Did you have any special duties at the time?
Not there. No, there was nothing to shoot at.
Right.
You see?
Now, during the night, the routine would carry on as before, would you? The sentry would go.
Oh, the sentry's always on, day and night. Always.
When would you usually sleep? Would you normally sleep in the day or in the night?
Oh, in the day.
What hours usually?
Because, I'd perhaps have a couple of hours if I could sleep so long in my little place, you know. I'd have a couple of hours and somebody would wake me up. And
were you able to get to sleep in the cold? And
oh, yes. You had to sleep. And but in the night time, you're more awake, really, than you are in the day, you know. Because you don't know what's happening in front there proper in the night time. And you're listening as well as looking, you know, and you can't see, but you're listening.
Did you have any listening posts out?
No, we used to. It didn't there in them trenches, but I used to go out. I used to have to go out and crawl on my belly, you know, along the front in no man's land, listening, and crawling a bit further. Probably one of them with me, you know, behind me.
Just one.
Well, yes. As a rule, it was enough of us to go out at once and listen. Get like as near to Jerry's lines, although a long way off still, you know, but venture as far out as you could so that you could get back pretty quick and listen, see if there's any patrols out like you, or see if he was hammering wire stakes in or anything like that. You see, you could hear him, of course, and you could come back. Well, when an officer did make an appearance, you would tell him, oh, they were putting more wire up the other night, sir, you know. You see, you'd been out and you'd heard them rant-tatting.
Who would tell you to go out, or would it just be
nobody?
Your own initiative?
Oh, yes. I had to do it for our own safety, in case somebody was sneaking up.
How did you get through? I mean, you said there's only one strand of wire, so that's not much of an obstacle. But what about, how did you avoid all the cans and everything that had been thrown
in? We just had to do our best to avoid them, because they were thrown out anywhere.
So they were a bit of a nuisance to you?
Yes, we had to make it slowly. You know, we were flat on our bellies in that sludge and stuff. We were an awful mess when we came in many a time, you know. Balaclava on and your face was covered in mud many a time with lime log.
What weapons would you take?
Oh, I used to take a rifle.
No special clubs or anything like that?
No. You didn't take your bayonet and that, because anything that rattled you'd got to leave behind. You unstrap your bayonet belt and, you know, ammunition, left them in the trench. Because you'd a magazine full of bullets, you see. and you got your rifle. You just move it a few inches on the ground and crawl after it. That's what you did.
So you
them were shocking times then, you know.
You were on reconnaissance. You weren't on a fighting patrol.
No. It may have turned out to be a fighting patrol if it was just better German part of the same, doing the same as us, you know. It was a case of who did what then, whether who saw the other first would be best.
They were about 200 yards away.
Yeah.
How many yards would you go out, roughly?
Oh, 50.
So there wasn't that much. They would presumably be doing about the same. So
oh, yes, they were doing the same.
So you'd still have 100 yards between
us. Mm.
Did you ever see the Germans while you were doing one of these reconnaissance patrols?
No, I could only see their figures just above the firing line. I could see their heads, you know. You could see their heads knocking about above the firing line. The sentries, of course. Not everybody, just their sentries.
Would you fire at them?
No, not like that. It wouldn't do.
Can you explain why not?
Well, you're out there in no man's land. They'd have sprayed it and you wouldn't have had a look in. They'd have sprayed it immediately, knowing very well that you were there firing that shot.
How long would you stay out?
Oh, it all depended how long it took us to crawl around and crawl.